If you haven't realised already, it's my job this morning to start a new series. And the series is, the overarching title is Standing Firm. So, should have a, yeah, good. Standing Firm. And this morning, I'm going to start by talking about standing firm on God's Word. And as I speak this morning, it would be fairly easy for me to stray into some of the topics that are coming up. So I'm going to try not to do too much of that and stick to where I need to be to give them a chance to do their topics. But we'll see how we go this morning. So next slide. We're going to go to this book. Anybody tell me what book it is? Kings, not Kings. Matthew. It's a doormat. It welcomes you in. And Matthew welcomes you into the New Testament. And Matthew, why is there a king there? Anybody know why there's a king there? Somebody who came through my Sunday school classes, yes. Because the theme of Matthew is wanting to just portray Jesus as a king. Matthew tells us that Jesus is a king. That's right. So, we're going to go to Matthew 7, verse 24-27. And you all know this story. I bet you do when I start telling you it. Two foundations. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is a story that is often told. I've told it in assemblies and lessons at school. We all, those of us who have been around, know it fairly well. And it's often told as a gospel message, which is fine, but it's not solely a gospel message. If we look at the context that this story comes in, it's not just to people who don't know. It's not just about getting to know Jesus. Actually, the context is much bigger than that. Because if you look at the people he's talking to, he starts off by talking about a broad way and a narrow way. And we can, I think the next slide is that. He talks about the broad way and a narrow way. He talks about, actually, that there are two ways we can choose. One's a nice, easy route, and everybody's going that way. One's a bit harder route, and there's a few that go that way. So he does talk in a gospel context. But that's not his only context. He then starts talking about there are lots of deceivers out there. There are lots of people who want to deceive us. And so he's not then talking to non-Christians. He's talking to the Christians. He's talking to believers. He's talking to the people who know. And he's saying many out there who would want to tell us something different. So even in Luke, he talks about it. He talks about it in the terms of bearing fruit and hearing what God says. And again, that context is for us. He's not looking for non-Christians to bear fruit. He's looking for us to bear fruit. So yes, there's a context of the gospel here, but there's a context for us to listen. He's basically saying, you need to know where you stand. So this morning, we want to talk about foundations. We live in times where people are easily knocked from one trend to another, from one opinion to another. I was going to use the word from one fad to another, but I didn't know whether that was more local to to me than others. My mother used to talk about fads. Do you understand that word, fad? And my mother was probably one of the world's worst for fads, I have to say. And if I'm honest, she had four sons and a daughter, and we all encouraged her as well. We were as bad as her, because you know what it's like, or used to be like anyway, at Christmas, the adverts always came on TV for the latest gadget that would solve your problems in life, in the kitchen at least. I remember two particular. In our house, my dad was housebound. He was ill for most of the life that I knew him. But one thing he could do was cook, and loved to deep fry chips and fry eggs. And if you came in our house, didn't matter who you were, but not long after being in, you would have a big plate of lovely cut deep fried chips, a couple of fried eggs. That was, he would love to do that. And Mum, again, was a lovely baker. She loved to bake fadgies, as we called them. Sunday we had fadgies. Anybody remember fadgies? No? It's like a cob or a bun, a bread bun. She would bake them on Sunday morning. While we went to church, she would bake bread. So, but I remember a couple of gadgets that came out through the kitchen that Mum just had to have. One was, some of you might remember these. One was this little device where you could put your potatoes or any other veg in, push the lever down, and out came the nicely cut chips. Remember them? Little shh. Out they came. Brilliant. Took you half an hour to clean the thing afterwards to get all of them. But it saved time, apparently. And then we had this other one, which was even worse. And it was connected. She found this little gadget, a ball like this. And inside, it was all rough. And it had a handle on the side. And you put your potatoes in, and you put some water in, and you put the top on, and you turned the handle, and it peeled the potatoes for you. And all the peelings went underneath this rough tray underneath, and out popped lovely, very rough potatoes, all nicely peeled. And again, when you came to wash up, it took you forever, and there was tiny little peelings everywhere. So this time-saving device wasn't really time-saving, but it was a fad. And so we would buy them. And it went on. I could go on forever of the various gadgets that would change her life that we bought for her. I think the most useful one we bought for her, but cost us a fortune, was the day we bought her a dishwasher. At last, one that really does what it's supposed to do. So, and she wasn't convinced by that one. But there you are. But we do. We live in a time where there's trends come, there's things that come and want to attract us. We're easily distracted. And we also live in times where difficulties come, like great storms. Jesus isn't in this story suggesting we can build somewhere safe away from all that. But what he is suggesting is we build in such a way that when those storms do come, and as somebody said at the wedding yesterday, they will come, that we can stand, that we're not easily knocked down. Ephesians 4 talks about not being easily tossed about. That's how we're supposed to be. But I often find the reality is something completely different. Even in my life, things come along and knock me, and how quick I can be unsettled. The key elements to this for me is hearing and doing, building and foundations. Jesus says, those who hear my words and do them are like good builders. And those who build on firm foundations, how can we build on firm foundations? Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Jesus wants us to be people who know the word, but who also do the word. Do you know what? There are plenty of people out there who know the word. You've heard people say before, I don't need to say it, the devil knew the word. But Jesus is interested in people who know the word and do the word. And so, James 1:22-25 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Constantly through the Bible, it talks about knowing the word and doing the word. And then this story talks about making wise choices. Do we build on the rock? Do we build on sand? Whereabouts do we build? How do we build? How can we make those choices wisely? How can we make the choices of how we build our lives and where we build and who we build with? How can we make them in a wise way? Well, the easiest way is by knowing God's word, knowing what God says, by all the time asking, well, what would God say about this? What's God's take on this? How do we know that? By reading and understanding God's word. If we want to know what God says about something, the only way we're going to find out is by reading his word. There's lots of voices out there that would like to feed into you, but the most important one is God's word. Let's just have a little bit of fun here. I'm going to find out some ages here. Put your hand up, and you can follow me through with the slides here. Put your hand up if you remember life before electricity. Anybody remember life before electricity? Whoa, see, we've got some. Do you remember life before electricity? I'm not sure. But some of us remember life before electricity, yeah. And we had to have, there should be another slide up by now. We should have, we had a gas lamp. No, go back one. The gas lamp. Wasn't easy life before electricity, was it? Anybody remember life before TV? When all we had was an old radio. Yeah, I see a few more hands going up now. The wireless, yeah, the wireless. Does anybody remember black and white TVs that took forever to warm up? Yeah, they're all getting more hands now, aren't we? Yeah. I'll tell you a story about black and white TVs and taking forever to warm up. When we first got married, we were given an old black and white television. And Elaine was at work. And I can't, who was the royal visitor? Who was it? They were doing a report on the ward, but it was being filmed for TV. And Elaine was there, she was part of it, and it was all being filmed. She came home, it was going to be on the news. We'll have our tea, we'll watch the news. Put the telly on, Neil. Put the telly on. Half an hour later, as it warmed up, and we could hear some voices, and Elaine could hear her voice. But no picture. She wasn't very happy. And of course, in those days, you couldn't just switch the video on or go back to iPlayer and see if it was there. It was gone. That was it. Missed. Black and white TVs took forever, didn't they? Anybody remember life before the telephone? Oh, sorry, colour TVs. Can you remember colour TVs arriving? Yeah. Yeah. We had one like that. That was when we used to get the test card on as well. Can you remember those? Who can remember those days? Yeah. Anybody remember the beep at the end after the you know, standing to attention to the national anthem? Yeah. It's all coming out here, isn't it? How about this one? Life before the telephone, I think, is the next one. Anybody remember life before the telephone? Yeah. Who remembers using typewriters? So some of the youngins can't put their hands up for this, is it? Has anybody used a typewriter like that one? Oh. I won't ask who remembers slates. But I bet you remember this. Remember writing with a dip ink and pen? I was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I was the only child in our class who, by the time we'd finished the lesson with the dip ink and pen, you couldn't read it because it was just a mass of blue. My hands were blue. The desk was blue. I had, remember the old lift-up desks? I used to lift my desk up, and not only was the top blue, all inside the desk was blue because I'd got ink so far everywhere. I was terrible. Couldn't do it. So that was pen and ink. Who remembers? Here's one for you. Who remembers the word processor arriving? Oh, weren't we getting clever by then? Word processors. ICI thought they were going to run very efficiently when word processors arrived. We never ran very efficiently, whatever arrived. And then we had the home PC. Yeah, remember that one? Yeah, a bit different now, aren't they? Who remembers, I don't think we've got any more pictures now, who remembers when you used to write a letter and wait for it to come? Yeah, not now. Instant, isn't it? Here's one for all the young ones. Who can't remember life before email, Google, and Facebook? I'm not so sure. There's so many ways of communicating now, isn't there? So many ways of finding out. We can go to Google. Ask St. Google. Just tell me the answer. I was talking to somebody just a few weeks ago who was querying, not a Christian, in one of our ministries, who somebody had offered to pray for them because they had a bad back. And this person came to me and said, he wants to pray for me. Does it really work? I said, yes, it does. He said, I think I'll go and check on Google. I said, well, I don't think Google's the place to check whether Jesus heals, but go to the Bible is a much safer place. But you get the message, what I'm saying, don't you? There's just so many bits of information. You can type in and get all sorts of opinions very easily. David Cassidy used to sing a song, How Can I Be Sure in a World That's, anybody? Constantly changing, yeah. How can we be sure in a world that's constantly sure? We can be sure if we know God's word. If we know God's word, then we don't get swayed. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. If you want to know which way to go, Jesus. If you want to know what's true, Jesus. Good. That's God's word, isn't it? The Bible. If you want to know these things, the Bible is the place. Luke 21, 23 says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. All the fads that my mum had, they've all gone. You might see them in one of the museums. God's word never changes, never fails. Another challenge that I think this highlights for us is how do we communicate the gospel and the love of God in a world that's changing without changing the message? I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were on about how they could get young people in their church and asking me about the young people in our church and various things. And so I was chatting away to them, trying to sort of answer the questions as best I could. But I was interested that this person then said to me, it's not about different people who come to the church to speak. And one person came to speak. He was all right, but he preached from an iPad. Well, I felt like saying, well, at least he didn't get the scrolls out. How do we communicate the gospel in today's world without changing the message? That's a good question for us to ask. How are you going to communicate to those you connect with in a way that they'll get it without actually changing the message? Because that's what we need to do. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then it says, don't be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. And again, how do we know if they're strange teachings? Check the word. Know the word. Things have changed over the years, if you hadn't noticed. When I went to church, Elaine will remember this as well, we couldn't go to the cinema. Unheard of. We couldn't go to dances. That was, as far as my church leaders were concerned, that was for the devil. Now we dance in church. Well, some of us do anyway. We certainly couldn't go to the pub. That was totally unthought of. We had hymn books. And then we got the fancy OHP. You know, with the things have changed. Do you know that when the organ first came to church life, it was very divisive? Some people wanted it. Some people thought, what are we bringing into church now? Now, if you talk about anything other than the organ in some churches, it's sacrilege. No organ. How we change and how fickle we are. But the good news is that God's word and the gospel never changes. Never changes. We used to sing a song years ago. I'm showing how old I am this morning, aren't I? It was, we used to sing a medley called Fruit Salad. Does anybody, any of that ring any bells with anybody? It was a medley called Fruit Salad. And it was a whole load of choruses that just ran one into another, old schism choruses. And we would sing them on Sunday school trips. And actually, a lot of them were good scriptures, so you got to know the scriptures by singing them. But one of them started with this, the old story, it is ever new. The old story, praise the Lord, it's true, that Jesus died for me as well as you. I love the old story. And it's true. The old story is still true. But how do we make it new whilst holding on to its reality and its truth? That's a challenge, I think, in the world we face today. To know God's word and to be able to communicate it in a way that people can grasp and understand. I go to London sometimes, and others of you have been in some of the big cities. I don't want to knock this too much, but I just wanted to say it as a point. You know, I hear some of the street guys out there and quoting the old verses that we used to in the past of, you know, the end of the world is nigh, all those sort of really doom and gloom verses, and wonder, is that the message that's going to communicate to this world? Because I don't think it is. We've got to have a message that the world is ready to hear that's true. And the message that they want to hear is God loves you. Praise God, we've got a team that's going out regularly on the streets who's taking that message out, that God loves you. Because that's what people want to hear. And do you know what? People do want to hear it. The world constantly tries to tell us that they don't, but they do. And you're seeing that when you're going out on the streets, aren't you? People want to hear. But they want to hear the message in a loving way, not a criticism way, not a judging way, a loving way. We need to know God's word, if we want to stand firm, and if we want to be able to help others to stand firm. First Corinthians 9 says this, though I'm free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law, that's what I did. to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I might share in its blessings. He was ready to be all things to all men. Now that doesn't mean he compromised what he believed. It doesn't mean he compromised what he did, but he would get alongside wherever he was and think, how can I best relate that my gospel message to this person, to these people? And he was great, wasn't he, Paul? He was great at doing that. Jesus was great at communicating the message in a way that people would grasp and understand. He looked around. What's around that I can get hold of that these will understand? When I was in Israel years ago, I remember standing outside the temple and looking across towards the mount where all of the sepulchres are and all of the tombs are, and you see these tombs all very whitewashed, lovely, kept lovely. And you can see how Jesus would stand there and look and think, they're just like you. Look all nice and whitewashed on the outside, but get on the inside, they're horrible and stinky and full of old bones. And you imagine the scribes and the Pharisees thinking, what? But Jesus had a knack, didn't he, of just being able to look around him and say, I can teach from this. And we need to look around us in these days and say, what is this culture that we are in? How can we connect with it? How can we get them to know this scripture? But we can only do that if we know the scripture, if we know God's word. Whatever you prioritize in your life at this time, make God's word one of your priorities, if not the priority. Because when you find, and you will, and I don't want to stray too much because others are going to touch on these things, but when you find the storms come, the troubles come, the doubts come, the thing that will hold you solid is knowing God's word. We need to know God's word. I used to love, in fact, I still listen to some of the old style music, as I call it now, because it had word-for-word scripture in it. Some of the old songs that had word-for-word scripture, and I would sing them and get them in my head. And some of the verses that I know now, I'm terrible at memorizing scripture. I really find it hard. But if I sing a song that's got word-for-word scripture, it's there. It's in my head. I love to know God's scripture. I love to sing God's scripture. I love to read God's scripture. But more than anything, it is my rock. When anybody comes to me and says, what about? My first question is, what does it say? What does this Bible say about that? The world will give you lots of theories. The world will give you lots of good ideas. Your question is, does it line up with this scripture? We need to be people who stand on God's word, not on good ideas, not on good theories, not on good debates, but on this word of God. And as a church, we believe, I hope, that this is God's inspired word, that every word we look at is from him. And I trust we are people who hear the word and do the word, because that's the people we need to be. And if we want to change this town, that's what we need to be. People who hear the word, who know the word, and then go out and do the word in a way that this town and these people can connect with. It's a challenge for us. Maybe if you're in groups or you're meeting any form of group, have a chat this week. How can I communicate God's word in a way that the people that I'm around will get it? How am I going to do it? Where do I need to do it? There's some good discussions over the lunch table today. What are the areas that you need to communicate God's word in? And how are you going to do it? And how are you going to make sure you're true to the word? Can I pray? Lord, I want to thank you that your word is a sure foundation. If we want to build our lives on anything, Lord, we want to build it on your word, on your truth, on your promises. So when the lies come, we can speak the word and speak the truth. And Lord, we want to be people who will take that word and that truth out into the world that needs it so much and be able to appropriately share your gospel, share your word, to touch this town, to touch this area, to touch this nation. Help us to be people of your word. In your name, amen. God bless you.